This is CliffCentral.com.
Testing, 1, 2.
Testing.
Sia, you alright? Is that the noise you were making?
Sounds way too oddly familiar.
What did you do all weekend? Did you recover?
Oh, I was sedation vacation. I was telling these guys a little earlier.
You didn't talk to a human being?
Oh, no. For good part of Friday and Saturday, I was in and out of just deep, proper, knocks you out medication. Oh, it was delightful.
As long as you gave it to yourself, Sia.
Yeah, as long as Bill Cosby didn't run into your room and give it to you, then you'd be fine, right?
It is so odd. I have these crazy, I'm terming them battle scars now. I've bumped my head somehow
what?
In this deep slumber.
What?
I think I rolled over while I was having a weird dream and I bumped my head. I still feel it a bit, but I'm just like, that's great. I've bitten my tongue somewhere while I was...
You were in hell. Oh, what happened to you?
It was great. That's what you need. You just need a bunch of medication, sleep it off, knocks you out. And yesterday I was good and...
What's the longest period you actually slept for that you're aware of?
I slept on Friday because I was up very early, like 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Thanks very much. I got the message from you at like 3:15. Yeah, that was
annoying.
Nice.
That's it. I couldn't keep up the fight anymore.
Poppy,
folks.
I would rather know. So it's better that I got the message than we all arrived here on Friday and he wasn't here.
Okay, fair
That's
enough.
That's it. And I think I probably pulled a good 10 hours sleep.
Very good.
So
that's
nice.
A good 10 hours sleep.
That's peaceful.
Always worries me if I sleep that long, like my bladder, or if I'm thirsty, or if I'm hungry, or you know?
You worried in your sleep about
food? Well, no, it worries me afterwards. I'm always like, shit, I should have brought a bottle of water up here or something. I always try to remember to go to sleep with a big bottle of water next to my bed, because there's nothing worse than... You move around and then suddenly you wake up but you're half awake and you're like, I'm really thirsty now. I could do with some water. Just a little sip.
Kitchen seems too far.
Oh, it's so far. And I don't want to drink from the tap. I don't like doing that because I've got this water and then I have this filter thing.
Yeah.
And then I put it in the fridge. So it's filtered and it's cold. No, it's very important. Yeah, I like that. Plus, don't poo-poo and mock me. I'll tell you why it saved me a few times. You know when they cut off water in your neighborhood?
Oh.
Yeah, and then I've got like 5 or 6 bottles of this water in the fridge and I'm sorted.
You can at least drink.
Yes.
See?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, so we've got someone we want to introduce you to this morning. She is our producer and she's going to try and get the hang of what's going on over here. And her name is Nolo, and she's sitting in the production booth, the once occupied by the retrograde producer Damon Calvari and the much better producer Michael Flax, and in between by various other people. Hey, Nolo, what's up?
Hello, good morning.
How did you like waking up this morning? It's fun, huh?
Flip, man, I'm still recovering. Like, I'm still half awake, half asleep, to be honest.
All right, very good. Well, we're glad to have you on board this Monday morning. I hope you're ready to get stuck in here with us.
I'm excited.
Good. Very good. This means, of course, you can call now because there's someone to answer your calls. So if you want to Skype, because for the longest time we've had to run, Sia either run into the booth and had to try to arrange calls. So now you can call us. 0861-555-189. I'm giving you open. This is an invitation to interrupt as much as you like this morning. With peace and love, call anytime you want. 0861-555-189. Interrupt, insert yourself into the program inappropriately. Bring up things that you wanted to talk about 6 weeks ago. I don't give a shit. There doesn't have to be. don't worry about context or any of that stuff. I know there are a whole lot of people, because I get the emails every week. We've been trying to call. There's no one to answer. We wanted to find someone who could do this properly, who wasn't retarded.
Oh.
Because we did. No, we did audition one or two people who were barely, I mean, they were on the line, if you ask me.
Sure. Is the R word allowed?
I don't know. Here it is. Here you're allowed to say what you want. Freedom and an uncensored unradio. That's what we call it.
Oh, how I'd love to hear those names a little
what
later.
What the people I didn't... Yes. Yeah, okay. I'll give you some names.
Who are missing a chromosome? How about that, Poppy?
I'll give you some names.
That sounds a little better.
Anyway, so what a weekend. Can we just get into this weekend? Because I didn't spend my weekend like Sia, just sleeping. Mm. I did sleep a lot, especially yesterday in between. I woke up nice and late, which was good. Then I had all I had on my agenda yesterday was Wimbledon, because I wanted to watch the men's final. Because I watched that match on Friday night.
Sweet Jesus.
The endless match.
Oh, it went on and on. But I did love it. I sat there in my house on Friday night. I was like my parents, basically. I had a cup of tea.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was watching the match. It was very exciting. It's so good. It went on and on and on. And those two really put their heart and soul into it. I'm talking about Isner and Anderson. And then I thought I have to watch Sunday now because I'm invested. So Sunday rolls around and I have two major things on the agenda. Number one is Wimbledon men's final. Number two is World Cup final. That's it. Such a great thing to only have those two things on my agenda. I didn't have anything that I wanted to do work-wise. There wasn't any... I wasn't going to check emails. I wasn't going to do any of that stuff, right? Man, did I enjoy it. And that game, which we'll get into, obviously, with Ben, and you can call in and tell us what you think, too. That Croatia-France game was actually a really good game. It started off, and I thought, uh-oh. Because the French, there was like that own goal situation in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then Croatia scored, and I thought, this is amazing. What a first half. They've equalized. Then the French scored a penalty... Well, you know, there was a penalty awarded and France scored. And I thought, for the French, this has got to suck because these two goals are not really, you know.
Yeah, that penalty was...
It was dubious.
Yeah. It was a big call by the ref.
Yeah, they said it was a handball. Didn't look like a handball.
Well, it wasn't overly deliberate. The next person was a Croatian person. It's like he was obstructing a striker from the French.
Right. Anyway, it was very, very strange. But... then these two goals went through. And I thought, for the French, this is going to be a horrible way to win a World Cup. So I hope they score again. And then look at what they did. So it was very good. And, I didn't really have a favorite. This was the funny thing yesterday.
Yeah,
I wasn't really rooting for Croatia, and I really wasn't rooting for France either. So I was just enjoying the soccer as objectively as I possibly could, which was amazing. And then other than that, not much to report. Anybody else got fun stories?
Sort of like we're going to go to this fair, this like Bastille Day thing.
Okay.
And it turned out to be an absolute pile of crap.
What was it?
It was like this. Like I don't read invitations to things that well.
Yeah.
So it was one of those like come and raise money for the neighborhood. They want to build a fence or something rather for this area.
Oh no.
And it was close to home, and I mean you can't screw up a thing like this, right? You get a couple of hippies in there in those VW things that then like kind of peel out and make coffee for you and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And you get a couple of hipsters pulling pork, and then there's beer. Like, you can't mess this up. But the brisket was dreadful.
Was it like a carnival?
No, it was just like a park and people went there, but it was just full of children.
Oh no.
Children coughing and screaming and parents knew nothing about it. There was a couple of dogs and we met a nice elderly couple. And then we just basically had a bottle of wine and went home.
So what did they sell it to you as?
It was just a day out and I didn't read the invite.
Elderly couple?
Yeah, they were like the highlight. Yeah, so that was Sunday, which then led into the football, which was, it was decent.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the football was, that was probably my highlight of the weekend. Anything happened to you besides you sleeping yourself to death, Sia?
No. That was it. I was the homebody. And then we had some people over to watch the World Cup final. And I was just milling around and the TV was on in the background. And then finally when all of those goals started happening all at the same time, I think it was...
He really has no idea.
It was France. Yes, it was France.
He really has no idea.
When all of the goals started.
Yeah, when all the
goals... I'll have to be honest.
When that part where they were going to score the goal started.
No, guys, I actually know what I'm talking about. Song,
you know, and when the chorus kicks in.
To be honest, right? Then the first half of the match, nothing really happened. There was one goal, right?
There was a lot going on in the first half of the match.
But then, yeah,
there were three goals in the first half of the match. What are you talking about?
Three?
Yes.
When did France just start clapping them, clapping all
no.
of those goals?
So, yeah, you were obviously, you're watching this through
someone else.
A kind of glass they put in bathrooms. You don't know what happened.
I was between my balcony and serving people drinks.
All right.
I was being a great host.
By the way, Ben was in like major tours during the course of Sunday.
With who?
Discussions.
Follow the bounds.
Yeah, I don't really engage with a lot of people anymore on Twitter because I just find it's like, it's just hard work. Plus, I'm just kind of, I don't have the enthusiasm. But yeah, there was an interesting conversation about equal pay in tennis grand slams.
I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just an interesting, I like to go into conversations to learn things. Some people like to go in there and just basically remind
you. Are you for or against equal pay?
I don't see, but this is what people this is what people think, is that things are a personal thing, that men are threatened by women earning more money. Screw that. I mean, if you want to make money, make money. It's about products. It's about products getting value for money and getting merit. So I was having a commercial conversation. A lot of people were having an emotional conversation.
All right, so
and those two things don't meet, unfortunately.
How did it go? I mean, was this about a particular individual?
Well, I think it all stemmed from a certain tweet that was sent. That's, if you look at the men's semifinals and how long they were, and then the women's final was like 5 minutes in comparison.
Yeah.
So one of the counter arguments is that if women were allowed to play five sets, they would play five sets, and therefore they would technically earn their money. My argument would be that the product isn't strong enough for them to be playing five sets. I don't think they'll have as much a demand.
What's the product as in tennis?
As in audience numbers, people actually want to get behind this kind of stuff. Because if you look at endorsements, you look at how these tournaments are rattled out. And then another person was saying, well, it's the patriarchy, essentially. It's women have always been having to like play second fiddle. That's why their finals on Saturday, the men's finals on Sunday.
Yeah.
Men get to play five sets, women only get to play three sets. So they've never been given the chance to be the pinnacle of the sport, which is a lovely idea, because basically saying, well, if I had this, I would be that. There's no guarantees.
Yeah, if your aunt had balls, she would have been your uncle.
Yeah.
That's the classic line they use, right?
Yeah, so again,
you're the same person that will say Serena is the greatest athlete of all time and then also say that at the same time. So I don't buy the argument that people wouldn't invest in five sets for women's tennis.
Well, it's a bit
different. Women's sport.
It's a bit different because
how? When she's the best athlete there ever was, is.
Because she's not a man.
No, well,
so
she
doesn't have a man.
She's
physiology. No, it's not patriarchy.
She's
biology.
She's one person.
She's biology.
I'm talking about an entire sport.
Yeah, but she's at the pinnacle of the sport.
People are going to. The point of being in a free market system is that people are going to put their money where they want to put their money.
Yeah.
And they don't give a shit about structuralism or bias or any of that stuff. Roger Federer, for example, is what, the richest guy in tennis history?
Yeah, easily.
Right. So Roger Federer is a pretty safe bet. He's the kind of guy who's going to deliver results. How many Wimbledons has he won in a row? You know?
He's won a lot.
And Serena's the same. She's a sure thing. Like, you put your money into Serena or Roger, you're good.
Exactly.
But there is a difference. If you put Serena up against Roger, Roger's going to fuck her up. Because he's a man.
That's a different kind of conversation.
It's a biology conversation. He is. Remember, we tried this. We had this conversation. If you had to rank the men and women in one ranking, in one seed list, the first woman would be something like number, I don't know, 60-something. That's what they say.
Like in the hundreds. But look, that's a different conversation altogether. Poppy, what you're saying.
Men are built for different things. We've evolved differently.
Physically.
Yes, physically.
That I won't contest.
Yeah, sure. That's
but
all
commercially,
it is. No,
never.
Commercially, people can put their money wherever they want.
Yeah, so let us play five sets and then we'll see.
Okay.
But that's just it. Is there a demand for it? And that's what it comes back to with all these things. It's like people say that sport is the best, ever got a chance. Okay, but then how do we make it happen? Is there a demand? Are sponsors going to put their hands in their pockets and say, right, you guys, here's this amazing tournament. Here's all the money. No one's doing
it. But I think this is a step in the right direction. The fact that we're having these conversations.
Exactly.
And people are contesting for equal pay means that in 5 years' time, we won't still be debating this. It'll be a thing. We'll be playing five sets and it'll be okay.
Isn't there already equal pay at Wimbledon?
Yes.
No. So what is the...
Well, it's the Grand Slams. No. But people are saying that, you know, how is equal pay when it's such a different sort of time on court, whatever.
Oh, so people were saying Serena's working less hard for her equal pay than the guys playing five sets.
Oh.
So actually, this was an opposite way around to the normal prejudicial argument, right? People are saying there's more value. Plus, you get more exposure, obviously, if your brand is on court for 5 sets, blah, blah, blah.
I just want to know how much Kevin Anderson is worth now this morning.
More than us. But yeah, I think what it comes...
that's the conclusion.
More than us.
More than us.
Yeah. But what it comes back to with this whole 5-set thing, is that 5 sets are only played in the Grand Slam, so men will play 3 sets throughout the whole entire year. I guess the Grand Slams, they play 5 sets.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the better suggestions was, well, why don't the women and the men's both play 5 sets in the Grand Slams once you get to the quarterfinal stage? So if you think in the World Cup, you'll play 90 minutes and then you call it a draw.
Right.
You can't get a draw in tennis, essentially. A tiebreak helps you out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you get to the quarterfinals in the Grand Slams, men and women, they both play 5 sets. And then we can have these debates on a more level playing field. And I'm all for that. Because right. That's what it comes back to.
But
if people start assuming things, then it's just a dangerous place to have any kind of discussion because now...
So you were actually having an exploratory conversation.
About the product of the game, which is stronger because that's what gets more money. Right. This whole thing that everyone must have equal pay because people are saying it now the
but
cricket
that's already
as well.
Happening.
Yes, Gareth, but it's justifying that. And people are saying in every sport this should happen. So people are saying, well, the women cricketers should make the same as the men's cricketers. Never. It's a very different product. Tennis is the one place where they're kind of equal.
Yeah, there's parity, yeah.
But at the same time, it's still not, the product isn't as strong. This is what we're getting at. But then there's all these other counter arguments, which makes for a very good topic. But then people are saying that women's tennis is better. Again, it's just like, on what proof?
All right, yeah. Well.
If you look like, and then they say, well, how do you judge someone's worth? Easy, Forbes do it every bloody year. Oh, no, but that's sexist.
I think time will tell, and all these things require time. Like you're saying, the cricketers as well, women's cricket is only starting to grow in prominence now. So in my opinion, I get what you're saying in that context, that you can't necessarily pay them the same, but we haven't had the time to prove that. So if we had 100 years of playing cricket, sure. The playing field would be level.
Which is great, and long may it happen that these sports do reach a parity. But just to believe everything should be equal, this obsession with equality in life is absolute bullshit. You've got to earn everything you get in life. And I'm sorry if everyone's got a hard story somewhere along the line, but it can't just be, I do the same as you. That's like me going to a CEO and saying, I wake up at 4 a.m, I'm awake as much as you are. I should have the same pay as you.
So you would not be against...
you'd laugh at me.
No, you're right. I mean, I think that there are people who probably think that.
And I just don't see that it should be on us to prove that to people. So if the money comes, you're okay with us then being paid the same. So if people come, if the sponsors come and the money's there and AB, okay, maybe not AB, Rabada and someone else are both waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and the money's there, you're okay with that. You just don't want us now to be asking for the money when we haven't
expecting.
Done
it. Yeah, so if you say, let's take us to cars, say Mahindra, go to BMW and say, well, you know what, we also want 700,000 rand for our car, and the consumer's going to have to pay both.
No, that's ridiculous. No, that's crazy, right?
But Gareth, are you looking for parity here?
No. No, this is the problem, is people are obsessed with this idea of equality. And the problem with equality is that ultimately, no one wants equality. No one wants it because everybody wants to be different. This is the classic argument. I mean, I have this discussion with people all the time. The whole point of life is to be as unequal to everyone as possible. So you can wear your outfit, you can go to your party, you can do your thing. And that means you're unequal to everybody. Why do you think we work? If we all stopped working tomorrow, we'd all be equal. And if we all stopped working, we gave away everything we had, we'd all be equal. It's a socialist dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen? What would happen the very next day?
We'll be screwed.
No, the very next day, people would start competing with each other.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Because they would go, well, this is, I don't like this. I don't want to be the same as Denise next door. Fuck Denise. I want to be better than Denise. So you'd start working, and then Denise would realize you were working, and she'd start working. And guess what? Things would start happening. Everybody sits on their hands. This equality argument, nobody goes anywhere. Inequality is the purpose of life. And make yourself as unequal as possible. You saw the royal wedding, Sia.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want that?
And right. I will not be equal to anyone.
You don't, then you're not equal to everybody. The point, Meghan Markle's so happy because she's found inequality. She's delighted. Sure, she invited a few of her friends to the wedding, but this is the last. She's like, cheers, bye-bye. leaving you lot in the dust. I'm riding in carriages and wearing tiaras for the rest of my life. I am the princess now. You people are just still in the, you know, in the mess that I've left you in. Bye-bye, Suits actors.
And family.
Yeah. She did well.
She did well. She
and
did
the
great.
Scary thing is, like, looking at that, it could have been anyone.
Yes, it could. But the point was, she's now unequal to the rest of us. She's living a way better life than
but
anybody
Megan's
else.
Megan's life isn't a matter of skill. I think that's also what it comes down to. If I'm offering the same level of skill, regardless of whether I've been playing the sport for 5 years, for 2 years, I must get paid my worth. That's it.
Yeah, your worth. And that's what Ben is saying. Your worth is what the market determines. It's not something that you can structurally impose.
So then you can't have beef with Kylie Jenner.
No, I don't. I mean, I told you the other day, I think that what she's achieved is phenomenal. I'm just jealous.
Did you see that people?
Yes, that's all jealous.
Did you see people were actually trying to give her money to get to a
billion? I mean, that's how screwed up society is.
They're people donating were trying to, money what? To make she, it a billion.
Yeah, because the thing is, she's made 900 million, which is so she's 100 million off becoming a billionaire. And people have now started a GoFundMe account to make Kylie Jenner a billionaire.
I would love to spend 10 minutes. Guys. I'd love to spend 10 minutes just trying to pick the brain of the kind of moron who would give Kylie Jenner extra. Out of there, none of these are rich people, guaranteed, right?
No, well,
they're all absolutely nobody's who sit on their sofas in America farting and eating packets of chips.
And I bet this
and
is
now
the
they
want
to help Kylie make it a billion.
She's our girl.
And this is the irony. People are probably having this equality debate to giving her the money.
Yeah, right. I just think it's fascinating. Well, look, yeah, you want if you want to observe what's going on here, you got to follow
Scary.
Ben because Ben gets into arguments still, which is it's quite cute. I mean, I haven't gotten into an argument for a while.
Did you just say quite cute?
It is cute. It's
that
fun.
Is so.
Like, I like that Ben still bothers with people. He's a nice dude. I mean, he's better than me. I don't even try with people anymore.
So, are you arguing with other guys about this?
Yeah.
So it's not even women arguing.
No, it's all guys because you get these guys who have to then take the position.
It's these beta males. They're trying to suck up to women. They think that by being a feminist as a man, you're going to make women interested in you because they're obviously guys who can't get laid. I know these people. I've met them before. They're these, Poppy, don't pull that face and I'll explain in a second. These guys who pretend to be feminists. And they always end up being the abusers. They end up being the ones who are... Because they're trying to sidle up to women. Like, I'm an ally.
Okay.
And what they really are is just men don't like them. Women don't like them. They're trying to find a place in the world. They're these pathetic, weak, soft losers. That's what they are. And then they try to get up close to women. They're like, I'm your ally in the fight against the patriarchy. Meanwhile, what they are is they're just trying to get close enough to put a pill in your drink.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
guys,
I've met
this world
guys.
Is twisted.
Yeah. I know.
I give up.
They always. You read these stories about these massive feminists that rally behind women's causes, invariably, and I can cite examples. Give me a day to go and research this. I'll cite you a few examples. Invariably, what happens is these men end up being caught out for being like molesters and abusers and all kinds of other things because they've got there's something wrong there. You know, I understand women being feminists. So of course you would be a feminist if you're a woman. You want to stand up for other women and you want to stand up for your own position in society. And I mean, you know, classic feminism. In other words, what you're talking about, equality,
mm-hmm.
right? Where everybody at least gets a level playing field. Take it further than that. I have some problems with that as well. But then there are these weird men. They don't want to stand up for themselves as men. They're embarrassed to be men. They're self-loathing. And then what they do is they realize that women aren't attracted to them because they're either... Because they can't compete with other men, right? That's why they would start thinking this way.
Yeah.
And then they sidle up to the women and they're like, oh, I'm your ally. Everybody goes, mm-hmm. And then, it all comes out in the wash.
It does. A lot of the time, there's like 1%.
You know these kind of men.
It's the scary part of life.
They're just these. Let me kiss up to you, and then as soon as you turn your back, they're like predators.
Oh,
telling you,
nasty.
There's all the villains in every movie you've watched, basically.
Yeah,
that's the role they play. You know those ones who like, I'm here to protect you, princess. And then what happens is they're the ones who do the the damage.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Lots of things. Oh, look, I got another message from some Russian chick. In your neighborhood for a weekend break, seeking a good no strings attached time.
Ooh, that's a stroke of luck.
Are there any fit, clean boys with big wood? Mm. Want to have it wet? You
What?
No, this is just come in.
Very picky.
You should message me 5713696969.
Oh, her number?
She's even got the 69s in the number. That's beautiful.
She's a legend.
That's great. Crystal says Heya, but Crystal spelled C-Y-R-S-T-A-L. So the Nigerian dude who was typing it, he hit the Y before the R.
The R. Okay.
That's so nasty.
I just have to ask, like, who is going for these people that they keep trying? Someone must have, you know, it wouldn't work. You would have stopped doing this if there weren't some idiots out there who were falling for it.
Or maybe it's like a kind of initiation to dodgy online school. You've got to put these out during your internship.
Maybe, huh? Maybe. All right, let's get in some headlines. We've got to find out what's happening in the world. These are the five things you need to know today. Poppy, what do you got for
us? I know it's the week of us celebrating, is it Nelson Mandela Day? Yes, it is. Yes.
Wednesday, right?
Wednesday is the week, but there's some weird stuff still happening. The Concord bid to challenge the custodianship of Tata's traditional home in Kunu. And remember, Mama Winnie was also part of this at some stage, and she was still trying to get the land back, so to speak, from Grasa. Technically, that's what it is.
Yes, that's right. She's trying to get her land.
So yes. What's weird is that, well, weird for me, is that now Mama Winnie's daughters are following through with this themselves her behalf.
So they're going to fight the rest of the family.
Yeah. Well, they're actually, in essence, fighting Mama Grasa because she gets the land in the absence of Dada.
Oh, wow.
And she owns the land now that he's gone.
In Kunu.
Yes, and he left it to her. So there's no disputing that. So traditionally, I don't think she's supposed to have the land. I don't think any women are, actually.
Yeah, but which is another whole thing we must talk about.
You know what I'm
saying? If we're going to talk about equality, we should get into that.
So they're going to the High Court and Supreme Court of Appeals to contest the bid.
First of all, how funny is it that this is happening, like, how many years after his death, and it's still going on? I don't know whether it's acrimonious, whether they're talking to each other, whether they're not. But you've got Grasa. I mean, she's this supremely dignified woman who's really just done everything she could to uphold Madiba's legacy. And she looked after him through his tough times and, you know, all of that stuff. And then, you know, the daughters who I know are, I mean, first of all, Zenani, I think, was very, very dignified and respectful and you know, I think she won a lot of people over at Winnie's funeral.
Yes.
By the way that she conducted herself. And, you know, I think a lot of people were very impressed with the fact that she stood her ground on certain things. And, she's a strong woman. But, man, now they're fighting with Grasa.
Mm.
This can only go badly. It's going to be messy, right? And who gets torn apart in all of this? Madiba's legacy.
And the family must be on different sides.
Yeah, I want to know there's the other daughter, Makhato.
Yes.
And she's involved somehow. And then there's Mandla, who was the eldest male heir. And he's involved somehow.
So you see, technically, according to, as far as I know, Xhosa customs and tradition, Mandla's supposed to get the land. Yeah. The oldest son is. So I don't understand why there's a back and forth.
Well,
it's because Dada said in his will.
Well, if it's his property in his will, he can get rid of it any way he likes. So if he left it to Grasa, end of story. Like, if you died, you should be able to leave it to whoever you want.
Mm-mm.
Not.
Mm-mm.
You think so?
Well, I agree, but I just think in closer tradition, that's not the case. And that's why I think the court is going to have a difficult time saying that Grasa can get the land, because she has no traditional claim to the land. Just because she was married to him, it doesn't mean that she gets the land.
Yeah. And of course, there's that sexism built in. Well, this is where ultimately the court's going to have to say traditional law versus the law, and one of them's going to win. And
well, level up. Like, let the woman be able to get land.
Yeah, but then it's not traditional law.
This is why Uncle Cyril was bowing there too.
Yeah.
King Goodwill.
Yes.
Because traditional trumps democracy
Uncle
any
Cyril
day.
Is bumping.
We must know. And then we were speaking about this a couple of minutes ago, but Kylie's fans donating money for her to become a billionaire. Guys, she's going to get there by the end of the week, by the looks of things. And according to predictions, she's people are donating.
How much have they donated so far?
Think about it. She probably has about 100 million followers. Okay. If one person donates $1, she's there already.
$10. But I mean, is this, does this all make herself made then?
We can't have this debate.
Ben, good yes. point. Will she be the self-made?
Guys, yes. what determines self-made? Because I actually think that she technically is.
Oh, what's happening? Is something funny going on with the phone? Is she coming in for everybody?
Yeah.
Do you all hear? That's very weird. See, why don't you just set that so it's on my headphones? Because poor Nola's trying to talk to me in there.
Yeah, Puppy, you're right. It's a really good question. Like, what is self-made? Because everyone, unless you literally are born to wolves, you come out of there and you do everything yourself and you're quite antisocial. Like, Zuckerberg's not self-made. He stole the von Winkle-Hoffenstein's idea.
That's right. He did.
Elon Musk, is he self-made? Mm. I guess so.
So we must come from nothing.
But that's just it. It's like, what is the criteria? Because now it's like a desirable category of life.
Don't know, but it's, you know, if people are dumb enough to donate this money to her, she should take it and run.
Sure, and long may she be rich. But again, self-made, she came from the Kardashian empire. So her lip gloss, as fantastic as it is.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made it without the family support and everything else. But I mean, look, let her have it. She's earned the money.
All hers,
if people are willing to part with their cash... For whatever reason, I mean, you could argue that anyone's business, is it really self-made? Do they deserve it? But if someone's willing to give you their money, you deserve the money.
I agree.
Yeah. Take it. Take it with both hands and run.
So Donald Trump was in the UK over the weekend. Yes. And apparently Prince William refused to meet with him. Which is quite weird. Well, I don't know that it's weird. Aren't royals? Yes. And Prince Charles... apparently, you're not allowed to take a political stance if you're a royal.
No, you're not.
You just do what you're told and you keep it moving. But Prince William and Prince Charles apparently refused, and that's why the Queen was the only one.
Mm, and they did that awkward one-two-step thing.
It's bizarre.
Mm. I don't know that William and Charles are in a position to do that. If the Queen pitched up and met with Trump, and by the way, wasn't that embarrassing? Because
it was tough to watch.
He didn't know what he was doing. Trump was walking in front of her, and she was like, she was looking at her watch, like, Jesus, let this be over. But she pitched, right? She did what she had to do. Mm. She's the head of state for the United Kingdom. She met with the head of state for the United States. William and Charles, who cares about their principles? You get in line, do your work. Otherwise, you shouldn't be king.
But William was at the tennis anyway.
Oh, right. So that was what he was doing.
Yeah. That's the excuse he used
so that he could get to the tennis.
That was his draw for the weekend. Him and Kate are watching tennis.
Sure. And Prince Charles?
Whatever him and Camilla do behind closed doors.
He was gardening. That's what he was doing.
He was recycling his own urine. Who knows what Charles does nowadays? Well, he knows very environmental.
Yeah. No. Just ignore. Ignore Charles. Don't worry about him. It's all good. All right. What else is in the
Obama's news? In town this week.
Yes, he's coming in tomorrow. Yes, he's coming in tomorrow.
We're all going to get our photo ops. We're going to be rashing the man. I hope he's ready.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant very personally. I was about to say,
apparently
Poppy,
there's,
do you know someone I don't?
There's a lot of people going to this thing tomorrow, and I said yes, and now I'm not so sure. Anyone want my tickets?
Well, it is happening at a stadium, so...
Yeah, it's happening at the Wanderers.
What did you expect?
On a cold winter's afternoon, I have to stand in line and be checked by security to go and hear someone talk who's no longer president, who's going to say the same. I can tell you what he's going to say. I can tell you right now. It's not going to be interesting. And I don't know why I said yes. I'm reevaluating it.
It's the moment. It's what it means.
I know.
It's all of those...
I'm just...
corny, fluffy things that make you feel good.
I want to go home.
Also, in the absence of Madiba, this is the next best thing. Otherwise, you would have Musi, guys. And
oh, Jesus, oh, Norris.
You see.
That I wouldn't go to.
The Obama of Soweto. I'll never forget.
Musi My Money. I wouldn't go and listen to Musi My Money speak at the bar down the road if there were free drinks. All right. What else? Anything?
That's it.
All right. Let's get to some sport with Ben. But as we've become accustomed to, and Anthea will be popping in a moment or two to give us the money shot, but we do occasionally see what's going on with Bitcoin and Ethereum. So Bitcoin's looking good. 6,370 by comparison with last week, but by no means great. And Ethereum at 447. Okay, happy?
Can I just ask a quick question, a quick 101, so that I sound, you know, when I'm having these conversations, I'm at the BRICS Summit this weekend, what do I have to sound like I know what's going on?
In crypto?
Yes.
Just say nothing.
Oh. So just say I'm glad I got out on December 28th.
Yeah, okay. Just say, I'm so glad I sold. The middle of December was great. I cashed out. I'm Kylie Jenner's money.
Okay.
I'm that rich. Yeah, I got out while it was good. But you know, a lot of people talking about how it's going to go up again, how it's going to go down some more. Who knows, puppy? It's a thumb suck.
Yeah, I know.
So you can't sound stupid, you can't sound clever when it comes to crypto.
This is amazing.
Yeah, you can't go wrong, really. Ben, what do you got for us today?
Well, Gareth, it is 1,589 days until next World Cup. Oh. Kevin Anderson comes unstuck against Novak Djokovic, and an incredible weekend for South African golf. Yep, in the kind of interesting closing ceremony, Will Smith sang half of a song. Some Russian woman kind of didn't wear much, and eventually some other guy called, I don't know, I forgot his name. It was a very underwhelming closing ceremony.
Ben, I love your summary.
But the final itself was full of fireworks. It was, of course, a six-goal thriller. But again, it was a mile too far for the Croatians, who definitely took the hard road to get to the final, whereas France were the more flashy team. They went ahead through an own goal, then Perisic, everyone says looks like me, came back and got the equaliser. From there...
Maybe a little bit, actually.
Yeah, we both got long faces. And then, it was a very contentious penalty. And at that stage, everybody was all very much in it. And then, it kind of went downhill from there. Pussy Riot stormed the field. Obviously, you wanted to protest against horrible Russian oppression and political rule and all that kind of stuff. And if you are a fan of Pussy Riot, I don't think you'll ever see them again. Because if you're gonna run onto the field of a World Cup final,
why security suddenly came out?
Yeah, there was.
Because I saw them suddenly, everyone was marshaled around the edges of the stadium.
Yeah, there was a whole thing about people be getting arrested for no reason. So you go to a march and get arrested, and no one sees you again.
Okay.
So Pussy Riot made it about them for that little amount of time, and people say they've got a noble cause. No doubt they do, but you probably won't see them again because I don't think Vlad would have taken too kindly to seeing a pitch invasion during his World Cup.
No, he would have been very angry.
Yeah, so Pussy Riot are on a trip. I'm going to guess Siberia. That's where they're next performing. Probably to themselves and for the rest of life.
In separate jail cells.
Yeah. So 4-2. Well done, France. World Cup champions. Again, after being World Cup champions in 1998. And as many people did say, probably the most popular meme after that, it's just nice to see an African team finally win. And in the third and fourth playoff that you didn't watch and no one really cared about, don't worry, I've got the score for you. Belgium won 2-0.
Oh, okay. England 2-0. I didn't watch that, yeah.
So Harry Kane got the golden boot for the most goals, or as someone pointed out, the luckiest golden boot of all time, seeing as he mostly scored penalties or deflections. And Luka Modric was named the player of the tournament, which is rightly so. He played the most minutes. He definitely had the biggest effort out of everybody. And he was the glue of this Croatian team. A Croatian team that comes from a place where I think they said in Supersport there's only 5 actual FIFA-sanctioned football arenas/pitches.
Mm.
There's 4 million people live there.
So, I did see the Croatian president.
Well done, Croatia.
She was not the woman in those pictures that people had sent me. But she was certainly an interesting woman. Apparently she paid for her own economy class ticket to the World Cup. Yeah, listen to this. She paid for her own accommodation. She took unpaid leave as president to go and watch.
Wow.
And you look at some other countries who will remain nameless who've sent delegations of people on the taxpayer's bill to go and attend the World Cup. Think about that.
Hmm. Yep. Shiny example to us all. So, by and large, it was a great World Cup. Everyone had a lot of fun with it. The games were pretty entertaining. It was quite predictable where it needed to be. The best team, I think, undoubtedly won. France had the best squad. This is a team that got so close to winning the European Championships 2 years ago when they had the best team there. They've then built on that. It's a really great side. And so that's great. So we've got a great champion, great showpiece. Russia behaved themselves. We didn't see any hooligans. But Pussy Riot did kind of remind us that there is still a lot of dodginess that goes on in that country. And maybe we shouldn't get so drunk on the moments in sport and understand that countries are still quite dodgy.
Right.
So there's that to balance everything. And then in 4 years' time, like I said, it's going to be in Qatar, which you think Russia's got problems. This World Cup's going to be fascinating, this next one. I don't know if you're going to go to Qatar and watch the games. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting to see where the football as a sport, all these kind of things go in 4 years, where VAR goes from here, and how the leagues are now going to play out after the World Cup, and how, well, the signings are going to go. Let's be honest. If you've had a good season and then you go to the World Cup and play well, your net worth is skyrocketing right now. I mean, someone's going to make a cheeky offer on Harry Kane in the hundreds of millions. And Neymar away from PSG, well, we shall see. We shall wait and see. But speaking of the big deals, Ronaldo did arrive in Turin over the weekend. Of course, he'll be playing for Juventus, which has sent their stock price soaring, as Anthony has no doubt seen and really cared deeply about. But yeah, the tennis, what an interesting weekend that was. The men's semifinals were huge, huge affairs. I mean, Kevin Anderson and Jerry Isner, our mate John, they played out to a 26-24 in the fifth set. It was looking like Isner was just going to have that 17th wind towards the end and just knock out Anderson. Yeah. But they were sprightly and they held it together. Probably the moment of the weekend was Anderson's speech. He had just gone through this absolute hell. 6.5 hours, I think it was. Six hours, 36 minutes. You go from a place where it's just everyone's on top of you. That's quite an imposing arena. You're suddenly in a room with a TV camera on you. And he was so eloquent. He was so everything about the speech was incredible. The woman who gave the interview said afterwards, this is probably one of the most incredible interviews she's done in her entire time as a sports journalist. You could see there was a man deflated. 6.5 hours of playing tennis. He'd just beaten his friend and what kind of makes a penalty shootout look like a walk in the park.
Yeah.
They've gone through the most to get to maybe a once in a lifetime opportunity to play in the Wimbledon final. And the guy spoke with such composure, such grace. It really was just a great sight that you get sports stars and then you get the real, really great sports stars. And Kevin Anderson right there, that was a crowning moment in his career, in my opinion. He then went on to play in the final after Djokovic and Nadal also had a mammoth five-setter. So if you were... I mean, the whole schedule for Wimbledon over the weekend, there were a lot of people waiting, playing Candy Crush, whatever the hell they were doing. But yeah, 10-8, Djokovic got through Nadal in the final. And you kind of felt from there, well, unless Anderson nails his first serve every time, all the time, the moment the point goes into like three shots, Djokovic has got him. And the 6-2, 6-2, 7-6 scoreline would suggest that, unfortunately. So Djokovic wins again. I think it's his fourth Wimbledon title. And it's nice to see him back because he is obviously one of the greats of the game. He fell away a bit in that time. Andy Murray then came to prominence. So it was a dark time in tennis. It really was when Djokovic fell out of things. But he is back. And Nadal, obviously, he's going to keep going. He's the world number one. So tennis, really nice place. Really great Wimbledon again. And in the women's, unfortunately, Serena, it probably was a mile too far for her as well. She's, played all of 8 times this year, all things considered. The fact that she got to the final, and again, this is again showing the champion that she is, the speech that she gave and how gracious she was in defeat. Like, when you're as good as her, like, you expect greatness. You really do. You can understand that she might be a bit bitter when she loses. But no, again, gracious loser. She stood there, she gave Kerber her moments, and Kerber obviously winning 6-3, 6-3.
I heard Serena's speech. I thought it was very, very nice.
It was beautiful.
Too.
It just shows what a quality person she is, as well as a champion that she is. And that's, you know, what will make her one of sport's greatest ever icons. You look back and what she has behind the titles. So that was Wimbledon, but an incredible weekend of golf. South Africa's Brandon Stone was trailing by 3 shots going to the Scottish Open final round. It was a logjam of a leaderboard. I think there were 7 guys that started in the lead. And Brandon Stone, before this tournament, he was ranked 371st in the world. He had a bit of a dogshit 18 months by anyone's standards. I mean, this is a guy who won the US Open at a pretty young age. He won the Dunhill at Leopard Creek. And from there, he's kind of struggled a bit. He's been struggling to make cuts. He just isn't the player that he was a couple seasons back. But he shot 60 in the final round. He had an 8-foot of a 59. It would have been the first European Tour player to get that. But he shot 60 in the final round. It was one of the most incredible performances I've seen. And this was a real star-studded leaderboard. He had some really big names.
Two great performances 60. By South Africans over the weekend.
He ended up winning by 4 shots, Gareth, after that 60. But it was kind of made for a bit of an anticlimax the final round because he was obviously out well ahead of the leaders, shoots 60, gets into the clubhouse, and everyone's like, well, hang on a second, the tournament's suddenly over, out of nowhere.
I don't want to go down this road now, but we've got to pick it up at some point. Why, if we have sports administration at all, if we have a sports ministry at all in this country, why are we focused on sports that we keep losing, where we could back individual sports, things like tennis, things like golf, and we could actually win something. And our ministry could take some credit for that. I saw Cyril congratulating Anderson before the match on his amazing semi-final with Isner, and I thought, well, you know what, if the Minister of Sport, or if the sports administration in this country was any better, we would have backed him and kept him.
Well, it's a difficult conversation, Gareth. I'm not getting to now, but in these individual sports, it's like private companies.
Yeah.
You know, these guys they invest in themselves. That's why they're at the top. When governments and that kind of stuff get involved in teams, it's a bit of a shit show, and money goes in the wrong places, development is neglected. And that is why we struggle with the team sports, because they're not thinking about grassroots enough. They're not empowering the kids to come through. So it's a very different kind of debate in that one. But also, Justin Harding. So this is a guy who also, I mean, didn't have a great couple of seasons. He won twice on the Sunshine Tour now, and he won the Indonesian Open on the Asian Tour. It's a huge result for this dude. Really great guy, and he'll now play on the Asian Tour on this. So this is how you set yourself up for the next level. Brandon Stone wasn't even going to be playing in the Open Championship this week. His win on Sunday got him in here, and now Justin Harding's gone to the next level in his career as well. So it's a huge week for golf. It is the Open Championship at Carnoustie. Tiger Woods went and played a couple of holes yesterday after watching Serena at Wimbledon, and he said it's going to be hard, fast, and bloody difficult. Okay, I've added the bloody difficult, but you put two and two together. A links course that is hard, it's going to be something to watch. It really is. Phil Mickelson is toying with not even taking a driver out, because you're going to get so much run. But that's going to run into the rough. Carnoustie is probably the hardest golf course in the entire world. It's the hardest on the British Open rotation. And that starts Thursday. But a lot more information towards that as we get closer towards the time. That is it for your sport.
All right. Let's turn our attention to Anthea, who's got a look at the money for us. You know, we do this every now and then. We check in on what's going on with the cash, with the money, with who's got the investment, with which companies are winning, which companies are losing. And it's pretty much what we like to do with Anthea. We don't waste her time. She comes in here once a week, and that's what she gives us. Straightforward, and here she is this morning. I thought we'd give you a Spanish version of your song. She works hard for the money. Good morning, Anthea. How are you? And what do you have to tell us this morning?
On the JSE, I'm afraid it's not great news. The market was down 1.7% last week. Listen, I'm just going to blame Donald Trump again. I mean, these trade wars, it's just getting silly now. Mark my words. This is not just self-harm for the US. This is global economic stuff. This is bad. So he's added another 10% tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods. Everything from seafood, fresh goods, TV components, badger hair for all those who shave, all those men who shave and use that brush.
Yes, a proper shaving brush.
I had to look up what they used it for, which is why I'm making such a point of it. So what does this mean for us? The immediate impact was a weaker rand.
Uh-huh.
So think about it this way. If he keeps imposing tariffs on imported goods, U.S. inflation is going to go up. When inflation goes up, the U.S. is going to raise interest rates. Higher interest rates, especially for emerging market economies that are so hugely indebted, means higher capital and interest repayments. Pressure on emerging markets, and yeah, that's where it's going. And of course, the thing with being a developing or an emerging market is that actually, whether we like it or not, we are relatively heavily dependent on exporting.
Right.
That is our thing. And if globally the big global economies start using their own products, which by the way has already started happening in China. So China doesn't, sorry, let me finish one sentence at a time. So if that's going to happen, we'll have less exports. People will be buying less from us in the developed markets. So
right.
What I was going to say was that China has already started doing it. So they don't actually need to impose import tariffs the way Donald Trump's been doing it. You know, he's been quite vociferous about it. But all they do is they go, you know what, we won't buy US goods or we won't buy European goods anymore. We'll just use Chinese goods.
Right.
And already that's a problem, right? So trade now comes to a halt. So yeah, so that's my theory on Donald Trump.
So thank you very much, Donald Trump. Now we've got problems with our economy. Really appreciate that. What else?
He's certainly setting us up for it.
Is it helping the American economy?
No, because they'll see inflation. So what the Americans don't get is the aluminium and all these other tariffs, they're now paying more for their goods.
Yeah.
They don't see that, of course. They just see it as, oh, we're buying America, you know, make America great again. Let's buy local. They don't have enough of...
And can you weigh that up against the benefit to unemployment?
you know, creates jobs in America or not?
They're already in full employment, so that's not their problem, right?
Right.
I guess it's difficult to say. I mean, that'll be a big exercise. That's somebody's thesis.
Yeah, that is a thesis. I'm just asking the question. I certainly don't expect everyone to have an answer already, but I don't know that it makes as much sense. I don't like protectionism of any kind.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. You know, protectionism always sounds
freer.
Good.
The freer the market, the better, right? You determine a price, I determine what I'm prepared to pay, and between us we negotiate somewhere in the middle.
It always sounds like a good idea in the beginning. Let's protect jobs, let's protect our own people, but actually that's not how it works.
The less government involved in this kind of thing, the better. That includes you, Trump.
Yeah, and then shall we move on to local company news?
Yes.
It really was a week of unbundling. First of all, Tor, which is 55% owned by Stellar Capital, put out a notice saying that they are making an offer to minority shareholders. They're doing a BEE deal, and they're delisting Tor. So Tor will no longer be trading on the stock market. It's up. It was up about 26% or something ridiculous at some stage when the announcement came out last week. Stellar shares haven't really moved. They haven't decided, or they haven't announced how much Stellar is going to sell of Tor. Because, you know, Stellar owns Tor.
Right.
So it really contributes to the value of Stellar Capital. And it's moved a little bit, but not much. So, I mean, there's a lot going on at Stellar at the moment. You know, they're selling off, they're unbundling, delisting companies. I think they're just trying to consolidate operations, really, which is good. I mean, it's probably not a bad thing.
Sochasun?
So, yep, that was the second unbundling. They're the leisure and gaming business. So the thing with Soho is you think of them as a gambling casino operator, but actually they have properties to the value of 23 billion rand.
Sure.
And what they're doing now is they're saying, well, hang on, because you analysts and investors are undervaluing our property assets. You're only looking at the gaming business and saying that's what the share is worth, which, by the way, is currently trading at about 21 rand. We're going to unbundle our property business and list it separately. Now, if you do that and you kind of take into consideration the rental agreements, the yield at about 8.45%.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what you come out with is an intrinsic value of about 27 rand.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So, if you're buying Tor today at 21 rand and they unbundle, you'll get some, they call them hospitality shares, which is the property business, and some Soho shares.
Not Tor, you mean Soho.
Sorry.
You did say Tor. Yeah.
Sorry, Soho. Yeah. Some hospitality, some Soho shares, and together the value would be 27 rand.
Okay, so they were right. People were undervaluing them.
It usually is the case with these companies or these kind of diversified holdings.
Can we talk about this Absa relaunching and the rebranding, which they're spending, it looks like, millions on every billboard? There was one stupid billboard with their new logo on it saying, "Hello, Midrand." I thought, well, what does this mean? Like, is this helping you? Does this make me want to bank with you? Does this make me give a shit about your logo? Or is this the kind of middle-of-the-road, watered-down, boring non-message that you have to put up these days to not court controversy?
Okay, so I so want to be Maria Ramos because, you know, in the divorce with Barclays, she got £765 million to spend on rebranding and re-imaging of Absa and technology.
£765 million.
No.
Sterling.
Well, she's spending it.
Just on the rebranding.
Did you not
answers
see
your question, Gareth.
The light drone show on Wednesday over Santon?
Yeah, my friend did that.
Oh, apparently it was spectacular, the first in Africa, blah, blah, blah.
It was amazing. Really? Yeah.
I saw the video of it.
It was a full-on movie of just lights and drones.
Yeah.
So, that's where the money went.
Like, oh,
your friend got paid
hello,
a pretty penny.
Wow, okay. Nice.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Okay, very good.
So that's what's happening.
So now we know why they're spending the money. They have to.
That's right.
Okay.
It pretty much is that, actually. Yeah. I mean, the question everyone's asking, of course, is what's going to happen now? And I think Absa, by the way, which is now no longer trading as Barclays on the JSE, it's trading as Absa Group, ABG, I think is the code.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking really to go big into Africa and to regain some of that retail and business banking that they've lost in the last couple of years. So good luck to them.
Right.
And while we're talking about banks, should we talk about the fact that Nedbank on Friday opened a number of accounts for VBS depositors because Saab has secured the National Treasury to guarantee up to 100,000 rand for each VBS depositor so that they don't lose their money. And that money, it's about, in total, I think, what was the number? It's it was over 300 million rand. Jeez. By the way, that's taxpayers' money.
Yeah, I don't understand this. So the taxpayers are now guaranteeing VBS.
That's right. The depositors. So basically, there were retail depositors. You and me, we deposit our money at VBS.
Yeah.
VBS fall apart. They can't afford to repay you your deposit that you've got with them. Mm-hmm. Saab says to National Treasury, please, can you help out the man in the street?
Yeah.
And National Treasury says, sure, up to, it used to be 50,000. Now it's 100,000 rand each. Nedbank steps in and says, okay, we'll open accounts for those VBS depositors. And they can now draw up to, they'll get credits in this Nedbank account and they can draw up to 100,000 rand.
Sounds like everybody scores except the taxpayer.
Well, so the one thing you don't want is your ordinary man in the street losing his money because he chose to deposit it at VBS, which is a bad bank, basically.
I think you should have to pay a price for depositing with a bad bank. I think there should be punishment for having... You should certainly feel some of the burn if you go to a rotten, rubbish bank like that that was going to pay for Jacob Zuma's bond and was banking some Gupta stuff. I think you should pay the price.
I think it's difficult, Gareth, for the man in the street, the retail man in the street, to decide whether a bank is going to go under or not. I mean, the problem, so the big question, of course, is should the Reserve Bank have been watching this more carefully?
We always boast about how our banking sector is one of the best in the world, that it is well regulated, it is sustainable, it is dependable, all of these things, right?
Yeah.
We talk about that, but then VBS.
Yeah, so definitely then VBS. But then also African Bank.
So which is it? Are we good or are we not?
Northern Rock. So the thing with, we are very good. That I have no doubt about. South African banks and the banking system is some of the best in the world. But there will always be the odd case of fraud or negligence. And that's what happened with VBS. It was fraud. It was another Steinhoff case where you couldn't see it coming. They lied.
So can't we go after the people who ran VBS?
I think they will. Yeah, they definitely are.
That's where the money is.
Absolutely.
If people have been stolen from, it shouldn't be paid for by other people who didn't have anything to do with it. It should be paid for by the people who stole.
So let me quickly just tell you why I think the Reserve Bank and National Treasury are guaranteeing depositors. Because actually, it may not be that there isn't any money left in VBS. It's that you don't want people to withdraw all their money at once. So that's what a run on the bank is, right? So, mm-hmm. So the bank generally takes your money as a depositor and gives it to me as a borrower.
Okay.
And they stagger that so that if you want your money, hopefully somebody else has paying back their loan. But if all the depositors,
so in other words, the bank has to remain liquid.
Yes. Yeah, gotcha. But to a point, right? They're not 100% liquid, so they don't have all the cash sitting in the bank vault all the time. Except if all the depositors go, I want all my money right now, they won't have enough cash.
Okay.
And that's kind of part of what the Reserve Bank and National Treasury are doing.
All right.
And then just very quickly, offshore we need to look at, because Xiaomi, the mobile smartphone maker, I should say, this is one of those, they listed last week disastrous conditions. The share tumbled. So it was like touted to be the big Chinese listing. It was valued at $100 billion.
Right.
It's basically $50 billion now. It was down 6% on listing. It is the third largest listed maker of mobile devices, so Apple and Samsung. What can I say? Everyone's been talking about it. It just didn't go that well. It's funny because in China, tech companies are suffering a bit, while in the US, tech companies seem to be flying. And just to that point, actually, we're seeing a lot of downgrades in Tencent happening at the moment. So the first thing is Tencent are listing their music. They've said they're listing Tencent Music, their music business. Mm-hmm. And then they've got second quarter results coming up, and it looks like it just is not going to be that good. There's a lot of talk about this something called PUBG, which is Player Unknown Battleground, which is a Tencent game where up to 100 people play a knockout battle game. So It's not that you have three lives and they get renewed like normal games. You have one life. There's 100 of you around the world.
Wow, that sounds cool.
Last man standing is the winner. Yeah, it is cool, right?
Yeah.
Except they've delayed it and everyone's counting on that as being the big money maker. I think it is going to be a big money spinner because it's...
Well, the truth is they're not making that money out of TV in NusPass anymore.
No.
I mean, let's just talk about cable TV for a second.
Yeah, let's do...
Because in America, America, they're facing all kinds of toughness as well there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So last year, half of Americans between the age of 22 and 45 watched 0 hours of cable TV. That's no cable TV at all last year.
Damn it, Netflix.
So the question, of course, everybody's saying Netflix, that's definitely the way to go. Yes, you know. On top of that, half of Americans between the age of 22 and 45, 7.5 million households canceled their cable subscription in the last 5 years in America.
Wow.
So yeah, cable TV definitely coming under pressure. The problem is that I don't know if Netflix is the answer. So the Netflix share price has done particularly well. But if you look at the six highest earning movies so far this year, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Incredibles 2, Deadpool 2, Jumanji 2, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Of those, Disney owns four of them. Now imagine that Disney did their own streaming service, right?
Yeah.
And that they suddenly went, okay, well, let's say they release it in cinemas and a week or two later they release it on Disney streaming. And then after that, they take it off everywhere else. The only place you will ever be able to go and watch that, because Disney now owns it, is Disney streaming. Netflix can't do it unless Netflix pay a fortune for Disney. So I think, unfortunately, Netflix may not be the winner here. I think Disney may.
Wow, okay.
Just because of content that they own.
That's interesting. Mm. I think it's going to have to be, yeah, it's the battle of content.
It is indeed.
This is where it's going to take place.
It's funny as well because the analysts are calling it cord cutting. You know, they're cutting the cord, cable TV.
Very nice.
So bad.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Always
thanks,
good to check
guys.
In with you, Anthea.
Have a good week.
Yeah, I've missed Anthea's money shot for the last 2 weeks. So it's good to have you back. All right, let's get stuck in. Said by Sia is... should we do that now? Should we? Yeah, let's get into Said by Sia right
sure.
now. Yeah, all right. Let's not waste any time. People have got things to do. Go ahead, Sia. What do you have for us?
This morning is just a big old grand halala to a Sihle Shabalala from Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
He's an ex-convict from Langa.
Okay.
And he has now, though, decided to turn the tables around in his own life by creating a sustainable education service to transform the informal settlement into a tech hub filled with opportunity for disadvantaged and unemployed youth. So Sihle was convicted at the age of 19 for armed robbery and, quite topical right now, cash in transit heist.
Wow.
He was very bright, they say, in high school, but from what he was doing after school landed him in trouble. And so while in prison, though, he started taking up different courses and serving 7 years of his 13-year sentence, he ended up even teaching some of the inmates in prison. So once he was released, he realized that actually, look, I have this criminal record on me. I might not be able to go far in life, but let me make sure that other people don't follow in my footsteps. And so that's when he created a non-profit organization called Quirky 30. That's when he now teaches young people in Langa Township the likes of how to code in under 6 weeks, to training courses, and also teaching them about entrepreneurship. So in a matter of, you know, just in a couple of months, he's been able to really teach a lot of young people great lessons, to the point where this Viva My Technology conference, which takes place in Paris, has now noticed, and he's been now called to speak there. So this morning for Said by Sia, I just wanted to say, look, we might not have it easier times, yeah, and we might be making bad decisions here and there.
Right.
But you can always flip it around. Take
well,
as an
I'll
example.
Tell you what, like going to prison in South Africa is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be one of the nastiest prison environments in the world. Okay, if you're going to end up in a place like Polesmoor, you're going to come out worse, not better. So this kid must be some character to have survived that and to have come out and to now be making a contribution. I think he deserves all the credit he could possibly get. And of course, we all make mistakes, and some people's mistakes are a lot bigger. He served 7 years, which is a hell of a long time to spend in prison.
And it was at the right time of his life. I think if you go in at 19, you still have a chance at making it out and being reformed. Do you know what I mean?
You reckon if you're going older, it's way more difficult.
You're done. You're still malleable at 19. You're impressionable. You still have a positive outlook on life.
Yeah.
Even though you're cash and transiting.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's tough. My God.
Yeah.
Well, if he's managed to put himself together after that, that's amazing.
So, I mean, if he can, then so can we if we're having a bit of a blue Monday.
All right, we'll come back with some news, some talk. You can give us a call, 0861-555-189. You know what to do. Give Nolo her first proper job out there answering the calls. I mean, she's worked in other things before, but she needs to know that there's actual work involved here. So call her, 0861-555-189, and you can tell us what's up. You can tell us what's going on with you this fine Monday morning. And it is, I think today is possibly colder than it was last week. We were talking about how we weren't going to, you know, experience that nasty, ugly arse end of winter, but it seems that it's here, whether you like it or not. So hopefully that isn't it. Maybe this week is warmer. I don't know. I didn't check the temperature gauge in the car this morning. It just felt like it was
just
colder.
Just don't depress yourself by doing that.
No.
This is CliffCentral.com.